I remember years ago, back in the old days, when I started university, there was this never-ending stream of advertising to get us all to sign up for credit cards. Most of us were pretty new to living on our own and managing our own money, and we were faced with a lot of temptation in those days. Okay, maybe not a lot of temptation, one temptation, and the temptation was beer. There was one major temptation. So, in hindsight, perhaps a credit card wasn't the best idea. I don't know. Nevertheless, students are going to have to learn how to manage credit sometime. So today we're going to focus on some do's and don'ts when it comes to credit cards for students. Alyssa Furtado is co-founder and CEO of RateHub.ca. She joins us now. Hello there.
Hi. Thanks for having me today.
When did you get your first credit card?
So I think it was after graduating university.
After? You didn't have one during university?
I think so.
Wow.
Maybe I did. But I think that one at least would have been linked to one of my parents' accounts. So,
Right. You
know, the first time that I made a decision and had credit attached to my name and didn't have anyone there to bail me out, should I make some bad decisions? Definitely when I graduated.
When you graduated. Well, a lot of people don't wait. And there is so much marketing for people to move very quickly as soon as they hit, I don't know, the age majority or whatever. I want to ask you first, what are things that students should think about in terms of features? We're going to talk about bigger questions in a second, but in terms of features, there's so many things like the rate, rewards, cash back, fees, all that stuff. What are things that students should consider?
So I think one thing is how much balance they feel comfortable taking on. So, you know, it might sound exciting if a bank is willing to give you a credit card with a limit of $3,000.
Right.
But seriously asking yourself, you know, do you need that? And are you responsible enough to handle that? Do you want to kind of work up to that balance after you've paid it off a few times?
People are so funny about the balance. When the bank calls and says, I'm going to raise your balance, people take it as a compliment.
Yeah.
Like, I am so amazing that my new limit is $3,000.
Yes, but then you've got to think that the credit card company is looking at you as a customer and thinking, you know, maybe we want to extend more credit to them and they've shown that they can pay off a balance. Maybe we want to give them more and they might have some different incentives when extending balance your way. So
limit. What about the reward? Canadians are nuts about rewards.
Yes.
Should students be nuts about rewards?
I tend to think that you really want to be passionate about rewards when you become a significant spender. So if you're using your credit card very lightly, you might actually be more passionate about lowering your annual fee. So you'd want to look at a low annual fee. But if you are spending a bit of money, you can look for a credit card that will give you rewards back. So I spend quite a bit on the business, for example. And when I first graduated, I was traveling a lot for work. And so I did spend quite a bit. And so rewards became very important for me.
Anything that students should avoid when it comes to choosing that first card?
I think it's just, you know, you want to find the best option for you. So tools like ours, you can go online, you map out your spending, and we can help you show how many rewards you would get. And then you subtract the annual fee, and you're trying to find that card that gives you the most back in your wallet each year.
I have been surprised how few of the major banks' cards top the list on many of these surveys. What do you find at RateHub in terms of who scores the strongest, in particular for the student demographic?
So one that we really like is the Tangerine Money Back card, and that's because it does have no annual fee, and you can set some of your top spending categories and earn up to 2% back. So to see, you know, on some of your spending categories getting 2% but not paying an annual fee, and there's no income requirement, so that makes it a pretty strong card. It really, you know, it's not a cop-out to say the best card depends on you. We truly believe that. So, you know, if you're someone that's already in debt, for example, we'd want you to look at a balance transfer card where, you know, for a few months you might be able to get zero interest, really focus on paying your debt down, and then transfer to a rewards card if and only if you get out of that debt.
What are the pitfalls on a balance transfer card? Because I am always suspicious about that product.
Okay, so the pitfalls of the balance transfer credit card is if you move your balance over, and let's say you get an introductory 0% interest, but then you go out and spend additionally, let's just say it's $10, and you go to pay $10 on your card, they won't apply that $10 to the high interest rate new spend. They will apply it to the balance that you're paying 0% on. So then you'll start paying top interest rate on your new spending. If that makes sense. So they can be best used if you move your balance over and then put that card almost in your closet for a few months and you want to be spending on a different card.
What's in it for the credit card company to offer that product? Are they just banking on most people using it irresponsibly?
Do you mean specifically a balance transfer?
Yeah.
I think they're banking on getting the balance over and then someone continuing to spend on it. And that new spending is earning and it's being charged at the higher interest rate.
Right.
So that's what they're banking on.
How does a student decide whether they have what it takes to manage a credit card responsibly?
So I think it starts with a small balance to begin with. When I was first starting out, I was pretty disciplined. I'd open up my credit card statement every week, write down in Excel what I spent, and really kind of absorb, oh my goodness, that brunch with that mimosa cost me $50.
You had a mimosa when you were a student? What do you think, Carrie Bradshaw? Jeez.
Basically, yes. I was raised on Sex and the City, and it did terrible things to how I thought my lifestyle should be. But we are taught that, you know, we deserve these things. And the messaging in media, you know, it's not saying, well, you can only afford this if your income's this or your spending's that. So I think it's really about, can you be disciplined enough, open your statement, look every week, pay off your balance 3 times in a row, and then get more comfortable with
it. One of the benefits that people in the industry will say is having a card helps you establish a credit score, which empirically is true. It does help. The offset, though, is that it can get quite risky. What wisdom would you have to a 20-year-old in your life who has said, well, I got to get a credit card because I got to build a credit score? And they talk in that funny voice.
So if that is their motivation, I would want to remind them that it will only help them build a good credit score if they pay off their balance each month. So again, it's not about having a credit card equals good credit score. It's about using that card responsibly. So kind of that consistent message that it all maps back to, don't get in over your head. A credit card isn't a license to go out and spend $2,000 you don't have. And you really, you know, it's the first steps to spending responsibly. So you want to develop good habits and it takes time.
Any advice on what people should put on it versus what they shouldn't? Because there are so many, you know, textbooks are an enormous expense. Mm-hmm. Sure, if you spend the $1,000 and put it on your card, you're going to earn rewards or whatever. Mm-hmm. But are there things that you should put on it and that you shouldn't put on it?
So I always say if you're a responsible spender, i.e. you're able to pay your balance each month, then I, for example, like to put all of my expenses on it so I'm not hit with transaction costs on my debit card and so that everything I'm spending on anyways, I get rewards. Mm-hmm. That looks, again, quite differently. If you're not able to pay your balance off, then you want to keep it to just your essentials, so your phone bills, your utilities, et cetera, and then maybe you use cash every time you go out to the bar if you can't trust yourself at past the hours of midnight,
and you go home.
For example.
You go home. You got no money? You go home. When should a student consider being solely a debit user versus having a credit card as part of the mix?
So if you found historically that you're not able to spend within your means, a debit card can be a really good control check because your bank is not going to let you spend more than you have. Your credit card will. So if you know, need to be out at a restaurant and get that declined funds to really kickstart you and make you change your behavior, then that would be on the debit
and you have
side.
Your excuse at the ready. Oh, it must be some problem with my bank. It's not that I'm in overdraft, because that would never happen to me.
No, never.
Alyssa, thank you very much.
Thanks for having
me. Appreciate your insight. Alyssa Furtado, co-founder of RateHub.ca, on tips for students when it comes to credit cards.